Welcome back to Copper Country Today, and coming up shortly is one of the funnest events in the area, and one of the longest running ones as well. And here to talk about it is Jeff Boss. He's from the International Frisbee Tournament. If you've never played Guts Frisbee or seen it played, it's one of those things that's going to make you do a double take when you see it done. It's actually sounds scarier than it is. I'm going to let Jeff try to describe how the sport is played. But they've been doing this thing up in Calumet for a long time, and it's had quite a history. I had a wonderful opportunity a couple of years ago to do an in-depth documentary on the sport and on the event, and really enjoyed doing that and learned a lot about it. I wanted to share some of those experiences and information about Guts Frisbee so that you can get ready and hopefully come down and share in the fun. So first, let me welcome Jeff to the show.
Howdy, Rick.
So you're coming up on the event. Is there a lot of preparation that you have to do for this thing as you get closer to it, or is it just one of those show up the day and have fun?
Well, just like any event, you got to plan for it. We have got a lot of amazing sponsors that help us run this event. If it wasn't for them, there's no way we'd have it. Talking with them and then getting frisbees ordered, stickers ordered, posters and advertising and the usual things that go on at the event. So it's, we usually start somewhere in January. Most, I think, it's just we can have breakfast at Nina's and just catch up.
As you mentioned, it takes a lot of sponsors to make this thing happen, and we thank them so much. In fact, a little bit later in the show, we're going to make sure that we acknowledge everything that they do, because without this event, it wouldn't be going on each year.
Correct. Just like any event in town, they put themselves out there for us.
So Guts Frisbee, as the name implies, is played with a frisbee, but it's not your traditional just throw and catch and have a good time out in the park with your kids and the dog type of sport. It's played quite a bit different. Can you tell us just sort of how it goes?
It's quite the opposite, actually. The goal is to throw it so the other person doesn't catch it, which, that sort of takes the fun out of it. But originally, that's how the first frisbee sport, which is Guts, started. It was you stand 14 meters apart, and one person throws at a line of either 3 to 5 men, and hopefully they don't catch it. And if they don't catch it, you get a point. And if they do catch it, then they just throw back at you and back and forth until you get to 21 points.
And the frisbees are going pretty fast.
They are. They are. Recently, back in, I want to say maybe in May, somebody clocked at 94 miles an hour, which set a new record.
When I got a chance to go out, I've been out for the last couple of years, and like I said, it kind of looks scarier than I think it really is. But you line up the five guys on either side, and they're tossing the kind of a little bit like the old Red Rover game, where you're lined up on arm's length from each other, and then whipping the frisbees at each other. It can hurt if you don't catch it right.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, there's usually a few black eyes by the end of the weekend. The name implies you got to have guts to stand on that line. I normally don't play the game, but I've been on the line a few times, and they sting when they come at you.
And that's only half the sport, though, is to be able to throw. The other skill set that you have to have is to be able to catch the frisbee, too, because there's rules about how to catch it.
Absolutely. You can only catch it with one hand. Trapping is not allowed. And ideally, what you'd like to do is tip the frisbee even and pass it, per se, to your best thrower. And so there's some strategy to it as it goes on. You try to set up, your best thrower and throw at the weakest catcher.
Because the person who caught it is the person who throws it next.
Correct. Yep. Yep.
All right. And so you keep score, and what do you go up to?
21.
21. What if there's a tie? What if you're...
Keep on going until you win by two. Some of those matches get pretty long. We had a few last year. One of our local teams, Luigi's, they just kept going and going. It was a semifinals game, and it was just outstanding guts. It was amazing to watch.
There has been some epic battles in the history of this sport.
Up
at Calumet, some of them that I've seen, and the quality of some teams. And if a person hasn't had a chance to, I advise them to go up to the Calumet Coliseum, because you've got the IFT Guts Frisbee Hall of Fame there with some incredible, images, photographs, and merchandise that span literally decades.
Absolutely. We have about 58 years of history up there. The fascinating thing about the International Frisbee Tournament and Guts Frisbee, you know, you think of everything starting on the coast and moving into the Midwest, but this all happened right here in the Keweenaw. It is the first Frisbee tournament in the world playing the first Frisbee sport that started here. And it's pretty much gone. It went nuts for a while. 10,000 people would show up to the events, and there was events all over the world. And its guts has dwindled a little bit where other sports have picked up, but it's still, it all started right here at Frisbee.
Well, talk about how it got its roots going.
Basically what happened, there was a friend who was going to school on the East Coast, learned about some Frisbee stuff, and then brought it back to the Healy brothers, who had, I believe, a summer cabin up in Eagle Harbor. And they started it out as a family picnic. I figured three brothers, what's more fun than throw a Frisbee as hard as you can at each other's head? And so then it went from there, and it got turned into the Invitational. Rumors has it they were sending out invitations to the Chinese premier and the Queen of England, inviting all these other people to show up to this event. And so that's where the name the Invitational came from. And then from there, it just got bigger and bigger and bigger. And here we are still now, 58 years later. It's hard to believe.
And it was kind of a, like, as you said, sort of a mock tournament. You know, just it was a bunch of guys just having fun at a family picnic. Mm-hmm. But as more people got involved and heard about this in you know, from as far away as Japan to other places in the country, they said, this is really neat, and wanted to be a part of it. It became, you know, more of an organized event as the year went on. It also has changed this sort of in its theme where, you know, in the early days, it was, you know, a bunch of guys being guys out there, and it's kind of developed more into a family event as well.
You know, it always has been a family event. You know, you hear generations of kids, oh, yeah, I remember going there and watching my dad play. And, you know, now it's gotten a little, it's still very much a family event. And, you know, as any sporting event, even going to a soccer game can be. But the level of play is vastly superior than what it was. And I just heard from an old Hall of Famer and sitting there watching a game in Wisconsin. He's like, wow, this is the best that I've ever seen. It just keeps getting better and better every year.
And other tournaments have popped up around. There's other cities that have them, but the IFT is still considered, I've heard it talked about as being the granddaddy of them.
It is. Yep. It's still the world's first Frisbee tournament. Marquette has a great tournament every year. They just moved to a new venue. There will be camping on site, and they've got a disc golf course nearby. Though this one's going to get really good as well. We're excited to have two great guts tournaments here in the UP. And then there's Worlds down in Sterling Heights. And then there was just one a couple weeks ago in Wisconsin, just outside Oshkosh, I believe.
Well, talk about the tournament itself. It lasts over 2 days. This year falls on July 4th and 5th. Yep. But you know, if you're trying to plan what to do for your 4th of July holiday, you will find nothing funner than to go down and spend the afternoon at the IFT, and you'll still have plenty of time to hit the fireworks later. So talk about how the tournament works.
Well, it's 4th of July. That's a historical weekend. It's always been around the 4th of July weekend, and so we've just stuck with it, and no sense of changing history. But the way it starts off, we got round robin play that happens Saturday morning, and then that basically the play happens, and then you get seeded as how you played in your round robin. And then from there, it's goes to double elimination, and hopefully you make your way to the winner's bracket and keep on winning. And then eventually we'll keep playing, picking up again Sunday morning, and then shooting for the finals at about 4 o'clock on Sunday. And that's always a great event to watch. I mean, last year was just incredible. Just they battled and battled and battled and back and forth, and it was worth seeing.
Who was the champion last year?
Boomtown.
So they won. Is that their third in a row? Didn't they win the year before?
I might be their second.
Second, okay, because yep, they beat the Assassins.
Won 3 out of 4.
Okay.
I think Ryan Scott, who's on the Boomtown Saints, has got 6 IFT championships in his belt now.
Yeah, and you're right. That final game is pretty intense and great competition. You know, I just brought up the Assassins, who I think are from Appleton, Wisconsin.
Correct.
they're an example of, you know, as much as this game has been around for so long, the amount of young people who are starting to play it, and, you know, that's always, you know, that's kind of a concern among us adults, is trying to get the young people just outside to play, you know. And okay, so maybe they don't go out and play baseball so much, but, you know, it doesn't take more than a few guys to play guts, and they love it. They love the intensity of the sport and the activity, and you're seeing more people getting involved.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. Last year we had two brand new young teams, one from Calumet and one from Hancock, so you sort of had that Valley to Ridge rival going on, and they just loved it. They just ate it up, and a lot of them continued to play other tournaments through the season. Hopefully we'll have both those teams back again and possibly another one, and that's our dedication right now for this year. So any extra money we raise is all going to go towards youth guts and try to promote the sport and keep it going. I mean, that is our future. The average age right now is about 50 to 60. So, you know, people that played for a long time and then they had families and then quit playing, but then brought their children back in and started playing again. But, yeah, it's kind of exciting. We actually got hoping to have a couple women's teams this year.
No, that'd be good, because you used to have quite a few women who played.
And then there's this is what's called our Hall of Fame induction year. Every other year we have one. And so this year we are actually inducting a woman into it, which hasn't been done for, I don't know, maybe 4 years now. So that's kind of exciting. So in her honor, we want to try to get some women's team. Hopefully maybe 3 to 4 teams up there would be great. And I've kind of been harassing the roller derby team, women around the whole UP. So come and play. You guys get the perfect mindset for it.
Sure, absolutely.
And then women's hockey players as well. And so I got a good friend of mine. She's trying to organize it and get her fellow women hockey team members to come out and try to take on Frisbee.
Another similarity to hockey is the presentation of the championship trophy, because of the celebration that goes along with it, the drinking from the cup and such, that I have seen and witnessed. What a great time that is. But the trophy itself has got an interesting story. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, I was just reading recently more about it. It's called the Nakazel Cup. Basically, one of the Healy boys named it after the guy who was head of Michigan Tech's ROTC 58 years ago, basically. And I think it started out as being a Campbell soup can and on top of a beer can or something. And then that is still around, actually, I believe, to this day, the same one. But what happens is historically, whoever the winning team is drinks beer out of the cup, if you're of age, of course.
Right. And this Nakazel didn't even know he had a trophy named after him until he drove around, I heard, and then was like, what is, they got something named after me? What is this thing? I wanted to know about it.
I'm not sure if it was mockery or if it was honoring him, but I think maybe a little bit of both.
Talking with Jeff Voss from the International Frisbee Tournament, Guts Frisbee, the Guts Frisbee Tournament in Calumet, the IFT, the granddaddy of them all, coming up on July 4th and 5th at Agassiz Park in Calumet. It's free to attend, but of course they'd love to have your support there. There's concessions, there's merchandise there. You know, and all that money just goes back into promoting the sport among our youth. Jeff mentioned about how some of the money goes to some of the younger teams to either bring them in from out of town or send them to other tournaments. If you see this, you'll definitely want to get behind it. A lot of sponsors have, and as we said, this is one of those events, as many of them are in the Copper Country, they do not happen without the sponsors. So kind of going to deviate from standard operating procedure in Copper Country today. We want to make sure we mention these sponsors, so Jeff's going to help me do that. I'll start off. This is for the 2015 58th IFT sponsorships in Nakazel level. This is sponsored by Coca-Cola and Hancock Bottling, Calumet Township, CLK Schools, Bucko's Party Store, Darnell Construction, UP North Cabinetry, The Pines Resort, Calumet Golf Club, Erickson Crowley Peterson Funeral Home, North Star BP, Lorium Marathon, Pat's Foods, Aspirus, Kissel Chevrolet, Keweenaw Mountain Lodge, Universal Metalworks, Calumet Elks Lodge 404, McDonald's, Super 8, Magnuson Hotel Copper Crown, Superior Graphics, Fifth and Elm Coffee House, Keweenaw Disc Golf, and Red Carpet System. And those are the Nakazel level sponsors.
Being Coca-Cola is our title sponsor, they've have stepped up, and it has been that way for the last 5 years now.
And the Healy level. Why don't you go ahead and take those for me, Jeff?
Superior National Bank and Trust, Todd Econo Food, River Valley Bank, Remax Douglas Real Estate, Surplus Outlet, Walmart Superstore, Range Bank, Holiday Station Stores, Calumet, Michigan House Cafe and Brew Pub, Peterlin Distributing, Dr. Tom McConnon, David Hennan, CPA, UP Pub, Blau Distributing, Harder's Party Store and Sporting Goods, Levesque Agency, Columbia Linen Services, Trail Creek and Towing, Country Inn and Suites, Tony's Country Kitchen, 41 Lumber, Ace Hardware of Calumet, Miller's Lane, Fitzgerald's Restaurant and Eagle River Inn, Harbor House, and Subway.
And the Davis level sponsors are the Kiwanis Mountain Lodge, Harbor House Restaurant, Pat's Foods, North Star BP, Loria Marathon, Calumet Golf Club, Holiday Station Stores in Calumet, Peterlin Distributing, Fitzgerald Restaurant, Michigan House Cafe and Brew Pub, The Pines Resort, Nina's Restaurant, Harder's Party Store and Sporting Goods, Bucko's Party Store, Red Jacket Media, Avenue Salon, The Rosetta, Bodies and Balance and Massage Therapy, Miller's Lanes, Northside Auto, Taco Bell, Hoonan Garden, Armando's, Culver's, LB's Chilling Grill, Magnus and Franklin Square Inn, Country Inn and Suites in Houghton, Travel Lodge of Houghton, Holiday Inn Express of Houghton, The Mineshaft, Fifth and Elm, and McCabe Distributing, and Subway. Some of those obviously doing more than one level of sponsorship, just giving a little bit of added support to your program.
And I'll add, the Davis level, most of those, they have been donating things for a raffle. For the several years, we've had items that we raffle off during the tournament. And this year, we'll group things together so you can actually add your tickets in certain buckets and try to get the prizes you want. And that's why they're doubled up a little bit there.
Now, you have your registration is held on Friday, July 3rd. Are teams still able to get involved?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Find a Frisbee. Go out and play. You know, look at gutsfrisbee.com. There's rules on how to play the game. Practice up a little bit. But, yeah, show up Friday. We actually have reduced registration prices for rookies and novices and young children. And then for the higher levels, they can pay the full price. But, come on out. Grab a team. You know, especially you women out there. We're always looking for new and just kind of making it exciting. That's just the goal, is to have, like, 3 to 4 women's team and – you know, let them play in honor of Kristen, of course.
Honor of Kristen?
Kristen Hamill, one of our Hall of Fame inductees this year. Steve Trauger and Kristen Hamill will be the two getting inducted.
And if you're wondering, you want to see it played or get some instruction, you guys have some practices that you hold up on Calumet from time to time. I think especially as we near here, don't you?
Every Wednesday. At 6 o'clock. It's called Action Park. We've renamed it.
That's after right on fellow. Calumet Street, Calumet Avenue, right?
Correct. Okay. Correct. Yep. Right next to Red Jacket Avenue, right before you hit the Mishawabit Club.
Yeah. Big giant float copper is out
front. Yes, exactly.
You'll know it.
And they have practices in Hancock, too, now on Saturdays in the morning at one of the Finlandia fields. I'm exactly 100% sure where that is, but. But if you go to International Frisbee Facebook page, it's usually listed, when our practices are.
And as you said, even if you're not going to play, this is it's a spectator sport. Mm-hmm. It's exciting to watch. It's high energy. There's music playing. Todd Van Dyke here at the radio station does the announcing and playing the music there. And it's one of those things where you come and you can set up on the sidelines. You can set up a little, your little canopy or anything that you would like. Certainly, you can pack some food if you want, pack a little picnic lunch. There'll be concessions there as well that you're welcome to. The kids there's room for the kids to just sort of play. The dog, you bring the dog out. People use the cliche, fun for the whole family, for just about everything. The IFT really is fun for the whole family. You can come out there with everybody and spend the day and have a great time.
Yeah, absolutely. We've got Frisbees laying around for the kids to throw around. We'll set up some targets or basically hula hoops that are decorated with bells, and the kids can walk around and throw through the targets. And so, there's all kinds of stuff. And, it's fenced in, so don't worry about the kids taking off.
And one of the things I did love about going is talking to the people who come, every year. They've been coming for years. The camaraderie, the way that you get to know these people and see them, again, and some of them aren't from the area. They come in for the IFT, and so this may be the only chance you see them. But it's like one giant family get-together.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It's a brotherhood. They enjoy this time of year. They live for it. They travel for it. And they travel with each other. You stay at each other's houses and, you know, take care of each other. And that's how Frisbee's always been. No matter what the discipline of Frisbee you're doing, if you traveled somewhere, another fellow Frisbeean would take care of you, take you in if you had no money. It's just how it always worked. It was always a Frisbee family.
And as you mentioned, you know, over the years, the sports has had its, you know, ups and downs to where, you know, at one point you're playing during halftime of the Super Bowl, you know, on a major stage, and then other times where, you know, it was barely a flicker, it was almost dying out. But you've gotten past that stage right now to where it's back on the growing side again.
Yeah, absolutely. And it really helps because it's all because of the youth. They're the ones that have kept it going. And the old guys just don't want to see it fade away, especially with Guts. In the 90s was the dark days. There was, you know, lucky to have maybe 3 to 4 3-man teams show up for the event. But, you know, now I think this year we're looking for about 16 teams, I would suspect, which is pretty good.
No,
compared
yeah.
to where it was. But, you know, when we hit 20 teams, I'll be real happy.
A lot of these are local, right? They're like from different tavern establishments and other groups of people who get together.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. We at least probably 3 to 4 local teams. But, you know, there's also a couple come from Marquette. And then Appleton will have one. But a bunch of them do come from Detroit area and Chicago. I mean, from all over the Midwest, really.
And you'll see a variety of people playing against each other. So if you're thinking, well, I don't know, you know, if I could quite play this, you see guys who look like me, who don't look like they should be playing a sport, but playing it fairly well, and against guys who are, you know, 16 years old and competing.
Right, right. Well, at the same time, you know, you still see some guys in their 60s compete
yeah.
and, you know, win it. It's amazing. But, yeah, I mean, they always say it's a young man's sport. But, yeah, I mean, there's still – just can't be afraid. I mean, it's just plastic.
Now, how long have you been playing?
Myself?
Yeah.
Never.
You don't play?
I don't play.
We're talking about how easy it is to play. You don't play.
Well, I've never been in line, but, yeah, I just
– I don't play either. I've never – I know I can't throw right now, so I got back issues. But but you've been around the sport and taking part of it, and obviously it's something you love doing.
Right. Well, I like Frisbee, and, you know, I'm avid disc golfer. I love playing disc golf, and, you know, this is a great, amazing piece of the Keweenaw history that I just love to keep it going, and that's why I stay involved.
You know,
and still that flying disc.
Yeah, Calumet has the new disc golf course, too, so,
yes.
You know, that's something else to,
that's,
you know, to try.
That's in the works for next year, to tie the two together.
All right. Well, what do you think has given this sport its staying power and has brought it back? What is it about it that makes it, you know, so resilient?
The people. I mean, you just got to have pure grit and guts to stay on the line, and that's how they live their life. And they are just stubborn, and they don't want to see it go away. It's probably the best way to describe it, because they are a stubborn group. It's kind of like herding cats a little bit sometimes, but which might be easier, but we'll see. Yeah, it's just, and the, you know, the fact is just the history of it. I keep going back to that, but that's really the roots of it all. And so, you know, that's what we try to embrace and keep that going and make sure everybody knows about it. Sort of preaching it out there.
Well, definitely, you know, stop by at the Agassiz Park July 4th and 5th. You know, I've seen some father-son teams or groups out there too, you know. So it's one of those things you can do with, you know, with your kids, you know,
right.
get them involved. And as they get, you know, old enough to, you know, to be able to stand their ground and they can play this sport.
We've talked about Boomtown and Appleton both, and those are father-son teams basically. I think Appleton's father and two other brothers on the team, and the same way with Boomtown. And we've got, you know, locals around here as well, bring their sons out. Wally Dennis, who's one of our board members and a huge supporter of the sport, and we wouldn't be able to do much without him. But he and his son played for years as well. And, you know, Pete Riley, who's another one of our board members, in the same way, he gets all our sponsorships and does a great job. He and his son play together as well. So, yeah, it's very much that it's going back to the same thing. It's family. It's sport.
So... anything besides the games being played on that weekend that fans can look forward to? You mentioned something about drawings.
Oh, yeah, we're doing raffles throughout. Well, basically what we do at the end of the weekend, You write your name out and you put it into a bucket, and the buckets will be all these different prizes added together, and some really great ones. You know, night stays at different hotels, free meals here and there. Last year, Universal Metalworks donated this beautiful fire ring, and everybody was just, I mean, beautiful designs cut into it. Dave does such a great job. Yeah, so you just select whichever you want to go, and at the end of the weekend, you draw out of each bucket, and you might win.
So there you go. We've taken care of your 4th of July plans. You know where to be, Agassiz Park in Calumet, July 4th and 5th. If you want to find out more about the sport or information about how to register, Jeff, what's that the website again?
We have internationalfrisbee.com. Otherwise, there's Facebook at International Frisbee Hall of Fame and U.S. Guts Hall of Fame on Facebook. Or you can go learn more about the game at gutsfrisbee.com.
Jeff, thanks for coming on the program.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you. Great to talk about it.
Copper Country Today, we'll be right back.